Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopa Shama Gondarada Sri Sri Gopa Sri Vrindavan Dham Jai Navarathana Jai 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 29, verse 45. Shabda,
Shabda,
Brahmani,
Brahmani,
Dushpare,
Dushpare,
Charanta,
Charanta,
Uruvistare,
Uruvistare,
Mantra,
Mantra,
Lingaya,
Lingaya,
Vyavachinnam,
Vyavachinnam,
Bhajanto,
Bhajanto,
Na,
Vidu,
Vidu, Param,
Param,
Shabda Brahmani Dushpare,
Shabda Brahmani Dushpare,
Charanta Uru Vistare,
Charanta Uru Vistare,
Mantra Linga Vatchanam,
Mantra Linga Vatchanam,
Bhajato Bhajanto Navidu Param,
Bhajanto Navidu Param, Shabda Brahmani Dushpare,
Shabda Brahmani Dushpare,
Charanta Uru Vistare, Mantralinga eva vachinnam,
Mantralinga eva vachinnam,
Bhajanto anavidupparam,
Bhajanto anavidupparam,
Shraddha Brahmani Dispare,
Shraddha Brahmani Dispare,
Karanta Guru Vistare,
Karanta Guru Vistare,
Mantralinga eva vachinnam,
Mantralinga eva vachinnam,
Bhajanto anavidupparam,
Bhajanto anavidupparam, Shraddha Brahmani Dispare, Charanta Uru Vistare, Mantra Linga Eva Chinnam, Bhajanto Navidupparam.
Shabda Brahmani.
Shabda Brahmani.
In the Vedic literature.
In the Vedic literature.
Dushpare.
Dushpare.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Charanta.
Charanta.
Being engaged.
Being engaged.
Guru.
Guru.
Greatly.
Greatly.
Vistare.
Vistare.
Expansive.
Expansive.
Mantra.
Mantra.
Vedic hymns.
Vedic hymns.
Lingai.
Lingai.
By symptoms.
By symptoms.
Devachinnam.
Devachinnam.
Partially powerful.
Partially powerful.
Bhajanta.
Bhajanta.
Worshipping.
Worshipping.
Navidu.
Navidu.
They do not know.
They do not know.
Param.
Param.
Supreme.
Supreme.
Translation. Despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and the worship of different demigods by the symptoms of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the supreme powerful personality of the Godhead. Prabhupada stated in Bhagavad Gita, those whose minds are disturbed by material desires surrender on demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their natures. Most people are missing the worship of demigods to acquire powers, each demigod has a particular power. For instance, the demigod Indra, the king of Venus, the power to shower rain on the surface of the globe and give sufficient vegetation to the earth. This demigod is described in the Vedas as Vajrahasta Purandara. Indra rules the water supply with a thunderbolt in his hand. The thunderbolt itself is controlled by Indra. Similarly, other demigods, Agni, Varuna, Chandra, Surya, have particular powers. All these demigods are working in the Vedic hymns through a particular symbol. Therefore, it is said here, Mantra Lingaya, Dabachinnam, by such worship, armies may attain the benediction of material opulence in the form of animals, riches, beautiful wives, many followers, and so on. By such material opulence, however, one cannot understand the supreme personality of the Godhead. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord and bestows his cause of mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the day. Or from the previous verse, those who are in knowledge shall be described as unable to appreciate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, this verse indicates that those who are followers of rituals, as well as those who are followers of rude activities, are unable to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these two verses, both the karmis and gyanis are described as unfit to understand. As described by Srila Rupa Goswami, only when one is completely free of mental speculation and fruit of activity can one engage in pure devotional service without being polluted by material desires. The significant word Atma, Bhavi, Dhyan, indicates that the Lord is awakened in one's mind if one constantly thinks of Him. A pure devotee is always thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. A pure devotee cannot remain a moment without being absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This constant thinking of the Lord is described in Bhagavad Gita as Satata Yuktanam, always engaging in the Lord's service. Bhajatam, pretty purvatam. This is a devotional service in love and affection. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead dictates to the pure devotee from within, the devotee is saved from all material activities. Even in the rituals and ceremonies are considered material activities, because by such activities one is simply elevated to other planetary systems, the residential abodes of the demigods. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors will be ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The word Atma Bhavita also indicates that a devotee is always engaged in preaching to the liberated conditioned souls. And it said in the sixth ghost song, he's not a shastra vicharanakanikono, saddharma sinstapako, lopananamitikarano. A pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always thinking of how fallen conditioned souls can be delivered. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, influenced by merciful devotees, attempt to deliver fallen souls, enlightens the people in general from within by his causeless mercy. If a devotee is blessed by another devotee, becomes free from karma kanda and gyan kanda activities. As confirmed in Brahma Samhita Vedesha Durlabham, the Supreme Personality of God cannot be realized through karma kanda and gyan kanda. A Durlabham Bhakta, the Lord, is realized only by sincere devotee. In this material world, the cosmic manifestation is created by the Supreme Personality of God, and the living entities have come here to enjoy themselves. The Vedic instructions guide them according to different regulated principles, and intelligent people take advantage of these instructions. Thus they enjoy material life without being disturbed. This is actually an illusion. To get out of this illusion by one's own endeavor is very difficult. The general populace is engaged in material activities, and when the people are a little advanced, they become attracted by the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas. However, when one is frustrated in the performance of the ritualistic ceremonies, he again comes to material activities. In this way, both the followers of the Vedic rituals and the followers of material activities are entangled in conditional life. These people get the seed of devotional service only by the goodwill of the Guru and Krishna, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhaktivinoda Beach. When one's engaged in devotional service, he is no longer attracted to material activities. When a person is covered by different designations, he cannot engage in devotional service. One has to become freed from such designated activities, sarva upadhi nirmuktam, and become pure in order to serve the Supreme Personality of God through purified senses. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevana Bhakti Uchate, the service of the Lord through purified senses, called Bhakti Yoga, devotional service to the sincere devotee, is always helped by the super soul who resides within the heart of every living entity, as Lord Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita. To those who constantly are constantly devoted to worshiping with love, I give the understanding in which they can come to me. This is the stage of becoming free from the contamination of the material world. At such a time, a devotee makes friends with another devotee and is engaged in a material activity, ceases completely. At that time, he attains the favor of the Lord and loses his faith in material civilization. It begins with Varnashram Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks clearly of one who is becoming liberated from the Varnashram Dharma, the most exalted system of human civilization. At such a time, one feels himself the perpetually servant of Lord Krishna, a position taken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. I am not a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. I am not a Brahmacharya, Rastavana, Prasar, Sannyas. What am I? I am the eternal servant of the servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. Through the specific succession, one can attain this conclusion, which is perfect elevation to the transcendental platform. despite the cultivation of Vedic knowledge, which is unlimited, and worship of different demigods by the system of Vedic mantras, demigod worship does not help one to understand the supreme power, personality of Godhead. When a person is fully engaged in devotional service, he is favored by the Lord and bestows the cause of mercy. At such a time, the awakened devotee gives up all material activities and ritualistic performances mentioned in the Vedas. So, here we find Narada Muni condemning other processes and glorifying the process of bhakti. So, of course, when he condemns other processes, that does not mean complete condemnation, since they do belong to the Vedas and the Vedic literatures. Nevertheless, they are not in the same position or an equal position with bhakti. So here he mentions Sabda Brahma, which means, of course, the Vedas. Of course, they are very vast, etc., and contain many things in them. But still, he says, by cultivating the Vedas, still, one could not know the ultimate truth. So in other words, simply such a process of studying the Vedas does not reveal the Supreme Lord completely. Of course, you can say partly he is revealed in some aspect, just as in the previous verses it was explained that even Brahma and Shiva don't know the Lord completely. To some extent they do, but not completely. So similarly, the Vedas also reveal the Lord to some degree, but not perfectly. And of course, because they do mention many other processes, people tend to get distracted by these processes, and therefore it is less likely that the Lord can be understood properly. So the Vedas themselves, of course, mention all these different processes, and in one part we have karma, that is, worship of demigods and such things. And of course, included in the process of karma, we have a varnashram system. And then we have, of course, gyan, which is very famous, part of the Upanishads. They're also part of the Vedas. So these processes are attractive to many people. So people are attracted to following varnashram and worshipping devatas, etc. And the purpose of this is material prosperity in this life and in future lifetimes. And for Gana, of course, the whole goal is liberation from the material world. So in other words, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha are satisfied by karma and Gana. So, and then we have the process of bhakti, which is mentioned in this second verse 46. Bhagavan, if he gives mercy, then one becomes awakened to the real truth and gives up all those things mentioned in the Vedas, that is, the liberation and the material enjoyment. So here we have a very clear distinction between bhakti and other processes. So therefore, it is best not to mix them. That is the highest process. We have pure bhakti and we don't mix it with other things. And that, of course, is defined by Rupa Goswami in his very definition of bhakti. We don't mix it with karma and jnana, and we get a good result. Now, there is the idea that, well, bhakti is okay, but it doesn't give us everything, so therefore we have to do other things. So, of course, then we can worship devatas to get our material needs satisfied, and for our devotion, let us worship Krishna. So that is one conception. That, of course, is aparad in one sense, because we feel that Krishna cannot give anything material, and only devatas can do it, so that is worship devatas. This is also a misconception. And this, of course, leads to a mixed type of bhakti and also aparad. So not very good for devotional service. And of course, if we want freedom from suffering, then we may mix jnana with the bhakti in an attempt to become detached from the material world and become vairagi, etc. We may practice some of the angas of jnana in hopes of steadying the agitated mind. So again, the process of bhakti covers everything, and as we know, the process of bhakti destroys desires, destroys ahankara, destroys karma, etc. It gets rid of everything by itself, so it doesn't need other things to do this. So that is why Prabhupada also mentions at the end of this purport that when a devotee comes to the stage of getting the mercy of the Lord, then he gives up varnashram, etc. He doesn't need that. In other words, material and assets and liberation are not the goal of the devotee, nor is he interested in them. And whatever good aspects they may have can also be achieved by bhakti itself. So as Bilba Mangal Thakur has said, bhakti and mukti are waiting with folded hands trying to serve me when I do bhakti. So in the process of bhakti, automatically karma and jnana want to give the results also without having to perform them. But of course the devotee also is very careful to avoid these things because they can create obstacles. So therefore, the wise devotee will give up all these other processes completely and simply practice bhakti. So, we should not think that bhakti is in any way dependent on other processes and needs them in order to succeed. On the other hand, we can also take things, elements of other systems, which may be favorable to a certain degree for our development. It doesn't mean they're absolute in any way. So we follow rules and regulations which are borrowed from the varnashram system, and that they are also favorable for controlling the senses and regulating our activities, etc. To that extent, we follow these things. But they do not have the same absolute value as they do in, let's say, karmakanda and varnashram, where if you don't follow those rules, you're considered sinful. That is not so in bhakti, so one can give them up at any point in time without incurring any sin. So in this way, the main emphasis in bhakti is on developing the attraction to the Lord, which gives mercy of the Lord, and this solves all the problems. Other processes are not needed to do that. So in other words, if the Lord gives mercy to a devotee, what does he need from other processes? Nothing, because he gives whatever is necessary for the success of the devotee. Whatever material success is needed for his spiritual success, that he gives to the devotee. So the devotee is satisfied with that. So therefore, the devotee never feels that he has to do other things. So this is the idea, and therefore, as we see, Lord Chaitanya condemned all the other processes, and he only glorifies bhakti in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Other processes are considered to be much, much, much lower, and the results are much different, so therefore, he does not encourage the devotees to partake of them. So in this way, the Narada Muni here points out to the king that king should not engage in this karmakanda process of sacrifices and whatever. It is not ultimately beneficial to do that and become absorbed in that. Rather, the emphasis should be placed upon bhakti. It does not mean, of course, that the king should give up everything and just do bhakti, because then he would not be responsible as a king. But at least he has to understand the principle, and the principle is that bhakti is the process which brings success for the jiva, not the other processes. So he has to change his focus.
This verse refers to the Gyan Yoga part. This knowledge of the Vedas is referring to the Gyan Yoga part.
Yeah, or the Karmakanda, because a lot of the Vedas, there's a Karmakanda section of the Vedas, so dealing with sacrifices, etc., glorification of Svargaloka, and things like that. The other part, of course, is Upanishads, which deal with liberation.
Maharaj, sometimes even different forms of Vishnu are worshipped because we give different, famous for giving different benedictions. So, being worshipping Devadas means being unchaste, but worshipping different forms of Vishnu, because this form, this temple is famous for that. How is that mean?
Material things.
Yes, for material benediction, different temples are famous for
Yeah, things. So therefore, if you're asking for material benediction, then it becomes again mixed bhakti. So mixed bhakti is the various sorts that, of course, is. And if we go to devatas, then this becomes more or less aparad. If we're applying to devatas, it's aparad. Now, if we go to the Supreme Lord and ask for those things, then of course it's still mixed bhakti because we have a desire to get material things from the Lord. So that is also karma mixed bhakti of sorts.
Sometimes
I find the
worst thing that worshipping according
to devata,
just association with
devata, you need to Krishna's. Yeah, to some degree. That is so by the mercy of these devatas, because they are servants of the Lord, they can help you attain the Lord. So that's nothing wrong with that. So we can always treat the devatas as servants of the Lord. There's no problem in doing that. But when we try to worship them independently for material things, that is when we get offense. We should also not think, of course, that the devatas can ultimately bestow the ultimate benedictions. They can't. They're limited. It's the Lord that can do that.
You see, Krishna and Gita is handling the question of how much they can do here. Okay, I'm preaching. We tend to use the same way of meditating. That's another.
What's that?
We go to preach, don't worship the Hindu, the Krishna Supreme. We find again there is many again. We think that Krishna is saying Gita and then repeat.
Well, yeah, of course, the devotee has to use his intelligence in order to convince people. Of course, in another place, Krishna says, don't disturb the minds of the ignorant people. And don't say, oh, you should be a jnani, or whatever like that. And renounce everything. But, on the other hand, we do see verses that says that that condemns the other processes, and one should only take to the process of bhakti. So that's a little bit different. Jnana is one thing because no one is qualified for jnana anyway. Whereas if they have faith, they're qualified for bhakti. If they don't have that faith, of course, then we shouldn't preach to them because preaching to the faithless also is not considered proper samaparad. So if people are attached to devata worship and they have no faith in the Lord, we can't really tell them to worship Krishna because that becomes aparad also. So we have to be, see who the type of people we're preaching to, and according to their level, then we can say different things.
Maharaj, we even see that Mahaprabhu would worship Narasimha Dev, and Lord Yogi worshiped Narasimha Dev, and it could be from relief from different problems or whatever, so that they can progress. I mean, how do we adjust that with worshipping Krishna?
Well, actually we worship all forms of the Lord to help us in our bhakti. So therefore, we worship Narasimha Dev to remove obstacles to bhakti.
Maharaj,
you
say that Krishna is all supreme powerful form of the Lord. So we need not worship others actually.
Ultimately, no.
Purity
meaning what?
Purity oneself for devotion service, or attraction to Krishna, which is important.
Well, purity, of course, ultimately means that of various levels according to the advancement, and that is dependent upon the attraction to Krishna ultimately. So the more attracted to Krishna, we can say, the more pure you are. the two things go together.
Maharaj, for Gyan, is the sannyas required? Essential qualification to practice
that? No. But one would have to be a Brahman. Because one has to study the Vedas and stuff like that. Only Brahmins can do that.
But at what ashram do they start? Brahmachari?
Yep.
And then they get married?
Gyanis?
Yeah.
Well, we do have some Gyanis would. We have sages. So many sages are married. And they're also Gyanis, sorts like Astavakra or something, or maybe some other sages. Of course, others may be sannyasis.
Yes, sir.